I was running around in the Med-Ed truck the other day, and it was last week before I was preaching, and one of the guys wanted to stop at a seed store because he wanted to get some kind of seed, and they were Christians at the seed store, and I asked the gentleman, I said, "Hey, can I get a little bit of seed from you for my sermon?" And he's like, "What?" I said, "Well, I'm teaching on the parable of the sower," and I said, "I need some seeds for the children to give to them." And he went, "Oh, yeah," he said, "I got contractor grass." He said, this will grow pretty good. So I hope it matches up with whoever has these children with the seed. It matches up with the grass in your yard. And if not, you're going to remember they planted that grass seed for a long time if it's a different color. Okay. Well, to kind of finish up the sermon from last week, which we started in Matthew 13, which I read to the children this morning, you all pretty much understand what we're doing with the seed. The seed is the gospel, the good news that you can be saved, that Jesus has made a path, a bridge, a way to get to the Father. He did that. We couldn't do it. So that's our seed. And we have an incredible amount of seed. There's endless seed. As long as you remember what the gospel is, you have seed. And you can plant that into all kinds of people. Now, I did talk about the very first one, which was the soil, the hard packed down soil. We talked about that last week. That's where I ended my sermon. And it's really funny how God throws stuff in my life. He does things to me that I don't know is going to happen. I mean, how often does that happen to you guys? Where you just show up somewhere sometimes and God meets you there and He challenges you. Okay? That's how we as Christians grow. Well, here was my challenge for this week. I was out working with Med-Ed and we were doing a job over in Elm Street in the city, and I needed flaggers to be with me. And there's this one young gentleman who's the lead flagger, and he shows up, and I usually ask people when I get to meet them, within a couple of minutes, I ask them if they're Christians, which some people it puts off, okay? Some people are just surprised, and some people affirm that they're Christians. Well, this gentleman was surprised, right? So I was talking to him, and we were having a little discussion, and I found out that he is one of the soils that are hard-crusted. You know, the more I throw seed at him, the quicker Satan came by and took that seed. So I just kept throwing seed at him. And he was nice enough to talk to me. So we talked and talked and talked. And I found out a couple of really good, interesting things about him that makes him that crusted type person. Well, he believes that he's been reincarnated several times. Okay. And I would throw the seed out there. No, you're not reincarnated. It's an appointed one only once for men to die, and then comes the judgment. You've been deceived. Oh, no, you're wrong. Satan took that seed away. Happens right before my eyes. You know, so we're continuing to talk, and it got down to the point after about a 20-minute discussion that I found out this about him. He doesn't want to go to heaven because he's into pain. Not my words, his. He's into pain. He likes pain. So he's going to enjoy eternal damnation because of all the pain. And I'm praying in my spirit going, "Lord, this is one confused young man. Very confused." But the interesting thing about it is, he keeps coming back to me. You know what I mean? Every time I get with this gentleman with Flagger Force, he comes and finds me out, and he wants to have this discussion with me. Because he's trying to convince me that there is no God. Wrong chicken. Okay. That there's many ways to get to where you need to get to. But obviously, he must have some concept of what's going on here, because even though he refutes everything I say, he somehow knows he's going to hell, and he's looking forward to it. How confused is our world? The soils that you're going to meet out there that Jesus showed us in his scriptures, the hard-crusted soil, I ran into him. Now, our next soil is the rocky ground. Okay? Rocky ground is somewhat interesting, okay? The soil is very shallow. There's soil there. All right, they put that up for me. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. And they gave me this to play with. There we go. This is the rocky soil right here, okay? Up here was the hard packed down soil. The evil one snatches away the seeds. But right here, the seed actually gets in there, and it does take root. But since the soil is so thin, the seed germinates quickly because it knows there's not a lot of soil there and there's not a lot of moisture. So then as it grows, it now comes forth, and before it can produce any fruit, the scorching sun comes out. Okay, and what happens to a plant that you leave out, like say on your deck, in one of the little pots, nice little geranium or a flower like that, and you don't water it for a week in the hot weather? We all know what happens to it, right, Miss Amy? Because I do this all the time. I put flowers out in the deck, I don't water them, and they die. So that's what happens into a person's life. You plant that seed in there, and it springs up quickly, and you know it seems like, yeah, they're right there. But what happens is, when the sun comes out and the persecution comes in a Christian's life, okay, I don't want to make waves. You know, I don't want other people to be, you know, mad at me. You know, when it comes time for them to stand up and be counted, they tend to fall away because their soil, no depth. We know people like that in our lives. And there may be even some of you in the church here who have very thin soil. And I'm not picking on anybody because I don't know. I don't know. But God knows. And we'll all find out when persecution comes upon the church. Now, these are the nice people that say nice things about the pastor, and they go, hey, Dave, you really did a good job. You know what I mean? A little words of flattery, but that's okay. I mean, I like when I said I did a good job, and I wonder why I did a good job, because I'm pretty much an idiot and always worried to death that I'm not going to preach real well. Because you people all deserve the best, and that's in God's Word. So what happens with those people is when persecution comes, what happens? They tend to shy away. Oh, I don't want to make those people upset over there, okay? Rather than have the depth where the roots of that seed go down into their hearts. It might be just head knowledge. You ever notice people have head knowledge? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. God exists. Yeah, Jesus is there. The demons know that and they shudder. If it's only just head knowledge and it hasn't grown down into your heart where it's being watered by the Holy Spirit, okay, and it gets those roots in there and it goes into your being and you believe it and you live by it and you have this conviction when someone says to you, you know, oh, Allah and God are the same thing, right? Allah and God are the same thing? No, they're not. The gentleman I was talking about earlier, he said, oh, Allah and God are the same thing. I said, have you read your Quran? He went, yes. I said, well, you missed the part in the Quran where it says, Allah has no son. Jehovah God has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. I said, so those two don't fit together. And he looked at me and went, well, I'm not so sure about that. I said, go read your Quran. I said, you're an intelligent man. Young man, you're reading all this stuff. You're telling me that ancient aliens were here, and he has all this stuff like from the History Channel, which I find so interesting because I've seen it too, and he's trying to refruit the gospel, you know, with History Channel programming. There's where we're at. No depth of soil. As we move on to the next, and the one thing about the depth of soil, which I'm really want everybody to hear this. I want persecution to come to the church. Because you know what happens when persecution comes to the church? The people with very thin soil, they tend to fall away. And that needs to happen to a church every once in a while. The people that will not stick with you, not stick with the pastor, in times of trouble, let them fall away. It's better to find it out rather sooner than later. Those people are going to fall away. That's what happens with a light depth of soil. Let us go to our next one, which is the seed that got planted into dirty soil. Farmers call this dirty soil. The soil is very rich. There's not rocks there. Has a nice depth of soil. Has moisture. But it's dirty because it hasn't been prepared properly. The thorn seeds are still there. They're still in there. All right? And you go and plant your seed in that wonderful soil. And everything starts to grow. And up comes the thorns. And the explanation for the thorns are the cares of this life. My 401k, my job, my house, my car. What are some of the other things that some people worry about? I tell you what, I'm going to open this up to the congregation. What do you worry about in your normal lives? Outside, away from church, when you're at home, what do you worry about? Somebody throw something up there. Anybody? Hmm? Health. Health, yes. Worried about your health. Worried about your health. How about taxes? What's that? Or her kids. That is a good worryment. But if you worry about your kids more than you love the Lord, that could be a thorn in your life. That could be a thorn bush growing up. Okay? And what happened was, the wheat and the thorns grew together, and the thorns outgrew the wheat and knocked out the sunshine, and the wheat couldn't produce because all the thorns were around. It choked it out. So the worries of this life, the things that you worry about, the clothing, the food, the job, the taxes, the nation, even your safety, they can be a thorn bush that grow up and choke out the fruit of the word that should be growing in you. I don't know anybody here that has thorn bushes, but if you do, get out that sickle. Get out that pruner, okay? Which is the word of God, and start pruning those thorns out of your life. Get rid of them. They're choking out the fruit of the word that is inside of you, pushing to grow. God's watering it with His Holy Spirit. And you're allowing the thorn bushes to grow up and choke it out. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. The last one we have is good soil. And it looks pretty understandable. We have clean soil. There's no thorns and thistles in there. The sower went out. If you're the sower, or Jesus is the sower, and you plant that seed in that heart, and it's a good heart, clean soil, and it produces 100, 60, or 30. And as I started looking at this sermon or this parable, and I was looking at it, and I'm trying to develop this, because Pastor Rich told me, I really love this man because he gives me hardly anything, just enough to point me in a direction. You know, he doesn't tell me how to preach. He never tells me how to preach, which you can tell, okay? Because I'm all over the place, right? And I wonder how those people down in Hagerstown are going to live with me for a Sunday morning. I think this is going to be interesting. They're going to get a culture shock. Oh my gosh, who is this long-haired crazy man? All right? Bearded. All right? He looks like somebody from way back when. A mountain man. Maybe I should put on buckskin and go and preach. That would be fun. I lost my train of thought there for a second. But I started looking at this, and I was curious, and I started praying, you know, Lord, why are you telling us about 30, 60, and 100? Shouldn't it all be 100? Right? If you throw seeds in a field for wheat or corn or soybean, they're expecting to produce 100-fold. That's what the farmer wants. Because he's going to go out there and harvest that. Isn't that what Jesus would want? He wants us to produce 100%, 100-fold. So what is the 60 and the 30 in there for? I started wondering, what's 60 and 30 in there? Well, then it dawned on me. Sometimes we allow stones to get into our lives, and it contaminates the soil a little bit. So even though we're producing a crop, you know, it's supposed to be 100%, now it's down to 60. You're only putting out a 60. You're only bringing forth 60% of what you could be doing. Get in there with a bulldozer, which is the word, and dig them stones out. Get rid of those stones in your life. The things you don't want, the cares of this life, the things that are hindering you. All right? One of the stones that kind of jumps into my life every once in a while, I'm not perfect, please. As my wife can attest, I am not perfect. Okay? And neither is any of us here, right? Amen? We're not perfect. Okay? So there could be some stones in your life, a rock or something. Get in the Word, dig that rock out. Get rid of that rock. Let that 60 come up to 100%. Okay? And then the 30%. I was thinking, well, if someone, I mean, you would think that, all right, that's good. He's producing 30%. At least he's producing something, right? I think that's the wrong attitude to have. Doesn't God deserve everything? Our best? You know, so every once in a while you get that thought, you know, God wants you to do something, okay? And well, I got to change oil in my truck this week. You know, maybe I'll just, Lord, I'll get to it then. I'm going to change oil in the truck because I really need to do that because if the truck breaks down, I don't have a way to work. You know, you start rationalizing things in your mind, right? How about giving God everything, your all, your best? He gave His best. His best was Jesus Christ who came and died for us. Couldn't you at least give your best, even though you're fallen? We're just human beings. We make mistakes. We don't have, you know, divine strength per se, right? But give them best. God deserves your best all the time. How about the best in your prayer life? When you go to your room to pray, you know, prayer is one of the best things to help them roots grow in your heart. Praying on the Word. Get that Bible open. And before you start praying, just turn it to a page somewhere, anywhere in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and read a verse and say, God, what is that for me? What does that mean for me? And allow Him to talk to you, to speak into that heart of yours where the roots are getting in there and growing. Right? And let those seeds come forth. So, and now to get to one of the carnations. My Father. My Father was an alcoholic. He was a good man, as far as fathers go. And I should say my dad. Because I only have one father, and that is in heaven. Amen? Our Father in heaven. He's given me an earthly daddy. Okay? And my daddy was good to me. He made sure I was fed, made sure I had clothes, made sure I had a house to live in, okay? Made sure I got disciplined when I needed it. And I could tell you stories about his discipline. Okay? I'll tell you one because I brought this up when I talked to my father. He was in the hospital this week. He's 81 years old. He has asthma real bad. And he got pneumonia, and his feet started swelling up because the lungs couldn't expel the water vapor very well. So now his body's starting to retain water, so he's in the hospital. So me and my wife go in to visit him. And my mom, I called my mom, and I said, is he in the hospital? What room is she in? Is he in? Oh, I'm not sure. I forget the room number. Mom, you were there with him. What room number was it? Don't worry about it. I'll go and find out. He's on the third floor. That at least narrows it down. I'll go and find out. So I get into the hospital room. He's sitting in his chair right aside of the bed. Bed's right here. Chair's right here. Window right here. Chair right here. Amy sits down. I walk past my father with my Bible, which I took it with, and I let him see it, and I set it on the windowsill, and I came around, and I sat on the corner of the bed, and we started talking. Now, my mom said that he is not happy to be in the hospital. My father hates being in the hospital. Hates it. And he's like a bear with a sore rump. And you thought I was going to say the donkey word. Sore rump. I mean, he is a bear. So I get in there, because he was a bear to my mom, and I'm thinking, this is what to expect. He's not being bearish. Okay? He's just sitting there. He's watching TV. He puts it on mute. And we started talking. And I talked to him. I said, you know, Dad, I said, you know, eternity's coming. Some words to that effect. Yeah, I know. I know. And we're sitting there just talking a little bit. And in soon time to leave, So I go around, I give my dad a kiss on his forehead, and I get my Bible, and I bring it past him, and I set it on the little table they have in front of the chair, beside of the bed. And he says to me, he says, is there something you want to tell me? I said, yes, Dad. I said, eternity's coming. And you have to make a decision on this side. You can on the other side. But I could tell he wasn't really in a talkative mood sort of thing, because Amy was sitting there, and my dad's a very private man. He doesn't want to talk about those sort of subjects. 3 years ago, when I tried to talk to him about salvation, he got upset at me and said, well, we don't talk about those things. And I went, okay. There's no point in getting into an argument, right? The soil is not ready. So I wrote him a very nice long letter for his 79th birthday. And I spelled out everything in the letter, and I gave it to him, and he never told me he looked at it. Never let my mom see it, because she's like, what did you write him? I said, Mom, that's a letter between me and Dad. If he shows it to you, fine. If not, it's private, right? Little did I know I was planting a seed there. He probably read the letter, okay, but he never talked to me about it. So he gets out Friday, and I said, I'll stop and see you, Dad. He has this old steamer trunk that was my grandma's. It's probably 100 years old. He wants me to have it. Can you come and get this thing? I want it out of the basement. Come and get it. So I parked the truck in the yard. I went in. Dad comes out. He says, hey, you're here for the trunk. Do you think you can lift it? I said, I'll go down and try. I'll get it in the truck. To make a long story short, we're sitting on the back porch together, and I said, Dad, did you think about some of the things we discussed while you were in the hospital? Yeah. I said, well, did you come to any kind of a conclusion? Well, I'm not sure. I said, what aren't you sure about? Well, I don't know what to do. So I said, well, the scripture says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, well, what do I do? I said, just call on Jesus' name. Ask Jesus to save you. And right then and there, he bows his head and he says, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Amen. That was it. Now, praise the Lord is right, because I never thought that was going to happen, but I'm not God. I'm just a human being, an idiot at most times, okay? But praise God, he opened that man's heart that was so hard for so many years and allowed that seed to get in there. Now I'm going to have to, get with him and talk to him a little more as we go, and I'm going to take this very carefully, because my dad is a very hard soil, okay? God has now chipped that away a little bit, and that seed is now in there. I know he's saved. I'm taking God at his word, right? Amen. And I told him, I said, you can be with your sister Nancy, who I know was saved. I talked to her. Her husband, my Uncle Hoop, I know he was saved. I talked to him many times. They're now both in glory. And I said, Dad, you can be with your mom. She was saved. I know she was, because I talked to her before she passed away. Now, my grandfather, his father, I'm not so sure about. But I'm leaving that up to God, because I don't know. And neither do any of us. We really don't know about some people sometimes. I'm praying that Murray is there, David Murray. But I'm not sure. But I know, I'm sure about my father, David Martin. David Claude knows that David Martin is in heaven. He's there right now. He's 81, and he's coming to the end of his life. And I think that might have helped get his mind prepared, get his heart prepared. Because he has a son who's a minister who preaches the gospel. And I've talked to him on many occasions over the years, and there was always that no. But now it's go. So to let you all know this, okay, you're going to plant seeds all over the place. That's what this parable is about. You're supposed to be scattering seeds everywhere, okay, on the hardened path where they're not going to get planted, okay? Satan's going to take those seeds away. Did Jesus say not to throw them? He said, throw them. I got plenty of seed, my children. I have more seed than there are of you. Just keep throwing that seed out there. How about rocky soil? Throw the seed in there. God may move the rocks. We don't know. Okay? The thorn bushes. Throw the seed in there. Throw the seed in there. Keep throwing that seed out there. Because someone may move the thorn bushes. And then the great soil. When you run across great soil, oh man, get that baggie out and just start dumping seed in there. You know what I mean? Pile it up 2 inches thick. Keep putting it in there. Great soil. And now to get to the point for all of you. Who here has a crusted over heart? I don't know. You know if your heart is crusted over and the seed's not working in. Okay? Who here has rocks in their lives and very slight depth of soil? I don't know. You know. Be truthful with yourselves. In your prayer life, ask God, is there rocks in my life? Is there a crust over my heart? Are there thorn bushes in my life? Only you know, and God knows. God sees all. He looks directly into your soil. He knows what's in your soil. If there's anyone here who has any of those maladies, okay? Because that seed's been planted in the good soil of your heart. Don't be happy with 30%. Don't be happy with 60%. All right? Glory in God when 100% is being brought forth in your life. 100%. Because He deserves 100%. He gave 100% to you. He gave all that He had to bring you to Himself. To wash away that sin. To wash away the rocks, the crust, the thorn bushes by the blood of our precious Savior. He gave everything He had. Christ gave everything He had. And He loved you so much He put His arms out like this. I know the pastors do this, some people do this. He loved you so much He put His arms out like this and they nailed Him to a cross. Because He loved you, and He loved you, and He loved you. He loved all of us. He loved the entire world. So get out there and put that seed out there. Get out there and be a sower. Jesus was a sower. He explained all the soils you're going to run into. Just keep throwing that seed out there. Give 100% in everything you do for the Lord. 100%. He deserves nothing less. Oh, I have one little story to say here yet. And I found this in one of the books I was reading, and it kind of hit me a little bit, and I wondered about it, and I liked it. It was a story by George Bernanos. Okay, the diary of a country priest, it's called. And in the story, the doctor tells the priest that he has cancer of the stomach. The priest is bewildered at first, and then he says, "Dear God," this is the priest talking, "I give you all willingly, but I don't know how to give. I just let them take." He must be talking about his parishioners. "The best is to remain quiet, because though I may not know how to give, you know how to take. Yet I would have wished to be once, just once, magnificently gracious to you." This is the priest talking about God. How can you be magnificently to God, graceful to God? Here's how you do it. Or how can you be generous to God? Strangely enough, it is by taking His word deep into you. He's given it to us for a reason. It's the seed. Take it deep inside of you. And that is how we can be generous to God. By taking what He has given us, His Word, taking it deep inside, meditating on it, living on it, just letting it grow in you, that it produces that seed that you can give out to other people. That you can tell them how Jesus has helped you. How He has saved you. How He's working your life right now. That's part of the seed. Letting someone know that Christianity is not a religion like that young man I was talking about earlier. Oh, he said, just one of many religions. I said, no, it's not a religion. He said, Jesus hated religion. And he looks at me like, huh? I said, it's a relationship. It's not a religion. A religion's a bunch of do's and don'ts, and we're going to meet here at a certain time, we're going to do this. It's a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. That's why it blows away anything else out there. It's all just fluff out there. It's all bullcrap. We have the true thing, that relationship. So allow that seed to grow deep inside of you. Let it just entangle around your heart. Let it fill you. Let the vines come out of your fingers that you might be that plant that produces 100%. I can't forget we have the offering. And as our ushers are coming forth, getting ready, and there they go, I want you to just be joyous with me that my Father is saved. If there's anyone in your life that you're praying for to get saved, okay, an elderly parent, an uncle, an aunt, a child, anyone, get them on the back of our prayer list. Okay, the one we have out there, we pray on, we add people for health concerns and all kinds of stuff. Get their name on the back of that list, because we take that list to the elders, and I think to the deacons, and we pray about those people. And that's what you need to do. God's got to get that soil ready for your seed. We got to pray about those people you want to see saved, and that's what we want to do.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.